Freedom! It's the news. According to me. Oh, good Monday morning. It is already almost 10 o'clock. 10 o'clock. It's 9:52 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, July 10th, 2023. And here we are on a Monday morning. And I do apologize that there wasn't, I think the last show I had was it Wednesday morning? Tuesday morning? Wednesday morning? I don't remember if we got it, but I don't remember what it was. I think it was Wednesday morning. Can't remember for sure. Probably wasn't even Wednesday morning. But we are here nonetheless, and we have something in my cup. So we have, today we have, and it's, I heated it up once, it's probably already cold again. I've got about a half a cup left of vanilla chai with Cinnabon creamer in it. However, you'll never guess what's in my backup cup. Never guess. You'll never guess. Keep guessing, because you'll never guess. Now there it is. You can tell it's got ice in there. It's not iced tea. It's iced chai. I have iced chai in there with, guess what kind of creamer? You'll never guess. Almond Joy creamer. That's rather refreshing. It is, I made, yesterday I was on the boat and I made some iced chai. And I still have some left. I made a big cup of it, so I still have some left. So I thought I'd just have that as my backup today. So I've got chai and chai. It's kind of like having a 45 as your regular sidearm, or, you know, like a SIG 40. And then having a SIG 40 as your backup. It's kind of the same kind of thing. With one has hollow points, the other one has, you know, full metal jacket or something. I just, yeah. So anyway, the, oh my goodness. Yeah. Worked some different muscles over the last weekend. And I had a major issue with my truck. I have a Dodge Dakota, 2004 Dodge Dakota. I bought it in 2003. And, so it's a one owner vehicle. I've had it for 20 years, almost 19 years and 11 months or 10 months, I guess it is now. So I had, I was towing a trailer. I was going over to get some steel because the bed on the truck is pretty much shot now. It's only got 110,000 miles on it, but it's just northern, in, you know, this northern Indiana stuff. It's the salt on the roads and stuff. It just deteriorates things pretty badly. So the bed itself is getting pretty bad shape. So I thought, you know, I've always wanted to put a flatbed on it. Not always, but I want to put a flatbed on it and kind of make it into kind of an overlander vehicle. And I've got a Jeep. But a Jeep isn't really an overlander. There's kind of a difference there. A Jeep can be an overlander, but a Jeep is more of a trail. At least I've got a TJ. I've got the 97 straight six 4.0 automatic transmission, two-door Wrangler Sport. It is more of a trail vehicle. It's not really a go across the country vehicle. You know, that's not really what that thing's for. Now the Dodge Dakota is a quad cab. So it's got a short bed, and it's got a V8 tow package and all that stuff on it. So I could tow a trailer if I wanted to, but it's four-wheel drive. So it's a four-door, four-wheel drive tow package. And it's a tough little truck. It's got a V8, a small, I think it's a 318 or 309 or whatever it is, 305, whatever it is. I think it's 318. And it's a good little truck, and and it's got plenty of power and stuff. So it's not the kind of vehicle that I'd want to take on a trail necessarily. I mean, if I'm going to go on a trail driving, I'd rather take a Jeep. But it's not that the truck can't do that. It's just the truck is much more comfortable on the highway. You can take it down the highway. You can take it down a dirt road. You can take it down, you can take it off into a field, back roads, country roads, dirt roads, whatever. It's more of a, that's what I consider to be more of an overlander, where you want to go on like a longer trip through, you know, the back country. The Jeep is not necessarily made for long range driving or highway driving. It's just not made for that. At least not mine. My two-door just doesn't have that much capacity. Even the gas tank isn't that big. Now, it can go through a lot of stuff. It can, you know, it's, I mean, but so can the truck can too, but it's just different. It's bigger, heavier, So it's two different worlds. I want to use the Jeep to tow behind my motorhome. So when I can go someplace, and I can take the Jeep along. I can ride in comfort with my dogs and my cat, my wife. Get there, have a place to stay, and then we can just use the Jeep kind of as a little runaround car. Whereas the truck would be more of a, you know, we can go someplace in that, and the dogs can ride in the back, in the. So I want to put a flatbed on it. And make that kind of a build it in such a way that it has some toolboxes on it and that kind of thing and an extra fuel tank. And then it can also have a half rack type thing, I think it's called. I want to be able to put a tent camper, you know, an overhead tent camper on that thing if I ever want to do that. I'm not sure if I will ever want to do that, but if we wanted to, because the dogs, I don't think the dogs can get, my one dog I can get up there. The other dog weighs about 85 pounds, and I think it would be, he can't climb any steps. He can't hardly get in the house. He's getting old. The Aussie, we have an Australian Shepherd. The Aussie could probably do it. I have a Beauceron who, his back legs are getting kind of bad. And I don't think, you know, I'd have to carry him up there. And they would not have it to be away from us, you know, at night. So I wouldn't want them to be. So it would be hard to get them up into the tent camper. So I'm trying to figure out all that out. I suppose we could lock them in the truck. I'd be perfectly happy sleeping in there probably. So we'll get it fixed up with a little bed in the back and the quad in the back seat. But in the meantime, that's the plan. The plan is to have a little truck like that. We can tow a trailer if we wanted to, if we do that or whatever. Or we could even put a slide-in truck camper over the top of the thing, which is another option. I do have one, but it's a really old one. It's very heavy. I'd probably get something smaller, a little more lightweight if I was going to do that. If I was going to go down that route, that gives you a little bit more solid camping experience. And then the dogs could get inside that thing. But anyway, that's my story on the camper stuff. So the brakes went out. I was towing this thing. And ironically, I was towing the trailer to go over to get some steel to make the flatbed. Well, driving down the road, and my brakes coming up on a stoplight. Everybody's stopping in front of me. There's probably, you know, three or four cars in front of me in my lane. I was in the left lane, and there were cars in the right lane. I wasn't sure how many cars there were in the right lane. This trailer's pretty long. And I decided that the only way I was going to go was going to be into the oncoming traffic, because there wasn't any oncoming traffic. Obviously, oncoming traffic was also stopping because they had a red light. So I began, you know, I tried to put the brakes on. There were no brakes. And I went over into the oncoming lane, turned my lights on, flashing my lights, honking my horn, and basically went into, it just happened to be an off-ramp there, another road I could turn into. And what I didn't know was it was like a half a block away from where I needed to turn to go to the steel place, but that wasn't on my mind at the moment. Pulled in there, turned around. Had a little bit of brake, pedal all the way to the bottom. Had a major brake line blowout. In fact, I might have blown out two of them, but I know I blew out one really bad. And apparently this corrosion got to it. It just in a spot that it just didn't see and blew it out. So I ended up limping the thing over to a shop that got it fixed the next day. And in the meantime, I Ubered back to my house, got my Jeep, and got my trailer, got the steel, did all that stuff. Then I went back, I rode my bike over to get the truck the next day. Charged me a whole bunch of money, and they didn't fix it. They put new brake lines on the front, all new brake lines, new, you know, the whole thing. But they broke the caliper, the drain plugs on the bleeder valves. Now, you know, you're paying somebody a lot of money to do something. You think they'd know how to do it. And there is a way you can get, even though your calipers, nothing, and absolutely nothing wrong with the calipers themselves. They busted the bleed valve off. Which, of course, they would have charged me $1,000 probably a piece for these things. I bought two of them for a little under $200. And they're like 90, it was a pair of them. I think they were $165, something like that. got them all done. And yesterday, or it wasn't yesterday, it was day before yesterday, Saturday morning, I put them all on. Got everything back working in shape, and it's good as new. So it's all done. What I didn't know, I thought they just only busted one. They apparently busted both sides. Because I went to, was bleeding the brakes and doing the whole thing, and then realized that I put the one side on, and it was still doing the same thing. So I put the other side on, and it finally worked. Now, they could have gotten the bleeders off if they had just heated up you have to use some heat. Use a torch on the thing. Use a propane torch on the caliper itself, and then you can soak it with some penetrating oil, and it usually just pops loose. But they don't know that, apparently. It's kids. So I got new calipers, which is fine. It's 20 years old. New calipers are in order. So that's done. But anyway, my muscles are sore. Basically, what it amounts to, I was under the car doing all kinds of wrenching, using muscles I haven't used for probably 20 years. So that's about as old as the truck is. So I'm a little older than the truck, by the way, about three times older than that. So I have there's a lot going on in the news. In fact, I got one thing I want to play for you. It's a short, and ironically, it's by MSNBC because their enemy. The enemy of my enemy is my friend. No, they're not my friend. MSNBC is not my friend. But they happen to play this clip comparing some of Lindsey Graham's statements about Donald Trump. I think it's important we realize what kind of weasel this guy is. He is an outright weasel. It's one of the reasons, it's actually a huge reason, why Sean Hannity has lost credibility with me, because he always has Lindsey Graham on. I don't know if he does anymore. I haven't watched him very much recently. But he used to have Lindsey Graham on almost every show. And they acted like they were buddies. And Lindsey just acts like, oh, he's Mr. Conservative when he's on there. Lindsey Graham is I don't understand how the guy keeps getting reelected. I can't believe anybody on the left likes the guy, and I can't believe anybody on the right can't see through what he's doing. He is an absolute establishment clown. And it's troublesome to me that he is the minority leader in the Senate. That's really troubling to me. I can't imagine what kind of relationship he has with Ron Paul. Rand Paul, I'm sorry. Or Ron Paul, for that matter. They must not. I bet they don't get along at all. So, a few things in the news recently. One is the case with Trump. There's these cases with Trump. The one down in Miami right now, and I think there's some others purportedly. The one in Miami is really heating up. There's some ethics issues involved in all that whole thing. Now I know that there's two different angles in this whole thing. One is, now I'm not a lawyer. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a lawyer. I'm not an anesthesiologist. I'm not an epidemiologist. I'm not any kind of ologist. I am not an English teacher. I am also not. What am I not? There's a whole list of things. You can go on the website and find all the list of things I'm not. So anywhere on the internet, you can look at any list at all of things that people are. I am not any of those things. I don't know what to tell you. I don't think there's a list on that list. I don't think you'll find drinker of chai. If there was a drinker of chai on that list, that would be one thing I would be probably. However, I'm not that. So this case is kind of interesting. We have, So apparently there's some ethics issues. And I know that Mark Levin had a recent rant about some things. And he was going on about how the leaks that have come out of the grand jury, the prosecution, and the DOJ. And it's all always in favor of the prosecution and the DOJ. Now, when Garland is questioned about anything about these cases,
we only speak through our filings and our court proceedings and we're independent of the concern.
You can't comment on any investigations going on. The other day, I heard Jean-Claude Pierre, Karine Jean-Pierre, she said something about, she can't comment on that case because it's related to another case. So now we can't even comment on a case that's related to another case, let alone commenting on the case that it's actually about. Well, there's an investigation going on. I can't comment. You'll have to go to the, directly to that people. You'll have to go directly to the other people to talk about that. I'm not going to answer any questions about that because you have to go to that other department again. She basically, I think somebody did a study. I think this wasn't even Fox News. This was somebody. I think this was actually somebody like at CBS or something. They said she only really actually gives direct answers to about 2% so far in the last, since January 1st. She's only given about 2% direct of the questions she's been asked. 2% of those questions she's given direct answers to. Now, you could say this is a sad performance on her part, or you could say that's an excellent performance on her part, because the real culprit here is that the media allows her to do that. The media gives her a pass. The other day, someone asked her questions, and she basically said, this is just irresponsible that you'd even ask that question. She's just chastising the press, not even, didn't answer the question, wouldn't answer the question, and then just chastise them for asking the question. Talking about how irresponsible they were for asking the question. So there's two different routes this thing's going down. Now, the one route is that the Ethics Commission, I believe that what's happened is there's some background stuff going on with statements that have been made, filings that have been made, and some issues with, what do they call it, conflict of interest going on with the prosecution. And apparently that is throwing some questionable issues in the ring. Now, I know that also the other issue with the leaks, Mark Levin says that it's the CBR. I can't remember who it is. There's an organization that oversees court proceedings, and a judge can issue an independent investigation into how these leaks are happening. And if they did, so this judge, and of course I think it's a Trump-appointed judge, and of course they've been making threats against her because she's a Trump-appointed judge. You have to keep in mind this Trump-appointed thing doesn't mean that Trump's sitting there appointing judges all day long. He doesn't do that. Senate does that. He just signs off on it. Mitch McConnell's the one who put all these people in. Keep in mind, the establishment put these people in place. Now, Joe Biden is establishment. So anybody who's a Biden established, a Biden appointed judge is, might as well say that's more accurate because it's his people putting those, you know, he's a part of the establishment that's putting those judges into place. Trump was not a part of the establishment, but what's Trump going to do? He's not going to sign off on these judges because he's going to sit there and go, you know, every day he's going to go through. That's all he's going to spend all every day going through. How much time do you think this guy has? He's basically these people are submitted to Congress. The Senate votes. The committee goes ahead and votes on the thing. They put the judge through because they got to have the majority. This is when Trump was in the office. Senate had the majority, and Mitch McConnell just kept throwing judges, putting out as many judges as he could. And Trump just had to sign, you know, like seven or eight papers a day. They're just putting judges into place. So he would just do it as they approved him. He's not going to go over fine tooth comb and look at it. Joe Biden has made, was it Brown? Ketanji Brown or whatever her name was. The most recent appointee. Biden came out and made this speech after looking over these candidates and looking over, she's the most qualified. And she's black and she's a woman. Oh, great. And she's not Catholic. That's important, apparently. Because when, I can't remember her name. She's from South Bend right here, South Bend. The woman that was appointed by Trump happens to be Catholic. That's a problem. That was a problem for the left. Joe Biden's a Catholic. That's not a problem. Nancy Pelosi's a Catholic. That's not a problem. because neither one of them actually follow the Catholic faith at all. Oh, they'll claim it. They'll claim it because they want your vote.
Oh, I was raised a fine Catholic. How dare you question my whatever.
So anyway, we have this stuff going on, and then the judge could file this investigation to happen, and it needs to happen within, like Levin said, it needs to happen within 30 days. It can't be held out for, it's going to take 2 years to conduct this investigation and find out if there's any wrongdoing in these leaks that are happening. Because someone within, I mean, the only people who have access to all this information comes directly from the prosecution. These are government entities. And they are leaking this stuff all like a sieve. He had a whole stack of papers with all the leaks. Every paper represented a leak, and there's probably 500 papers there. So it was almost like a ream. This is the kind of stuff that goes on. It's going on, and the media and the left wing, you know, the judicial is where a lot of activist judges have found themselves, and they did this on purpose. They intentionally got involved in the court system through a liberal education system. They would get their law degrees. They knew that changing the culture, changing the all this, you know, with the Constitution, changing in order to do all of that would require them getting into powerful places. And it doesn't take that many people. It just takes people in the right places. This is the whole premise. Now, fortunately, we have all these checks and balances in our government. It's taken them a long time to do it. In Cuba, it was well known that they didn't need to have a large number of people to take over Cuba. When Che Guevara and eventually Fidel Castro were involved in the takeover of Cuba, they only started with like about 12 people, 12, maybe it's 30, total about 30 people, I think, that came onto the island with the intent of taking it over. They started working on the outskirts and changing the philosophy. They spent months gathering up people who would support them. And then they led the revolution. So it was a deal where they weren't really personally as involved until they finally had you know, kind of had them in a stronghold. And the way they did that is they put people in the right places, the leaders of these little communities. Next thing you know, a lot of little communities add up to a huge number of people. And not everybody would necessarily support what was going on, but they weren't in charge. And this is the same thing that happens now with our system, as the progressives have done. They've progressively grown into, it's like this little weaselly little virus that gets into everything and it starts to infiltrate and contaminate. The education system is where it starts. And this is where, in my opinion, the Republican Party has failed. At the very root of the problem where it's failed, it has lost its ability to understand that we have an educational idealistic war we're fighting here. People aren't born with this innate understanding that they have independence and what independence really means. The individualism, not socialism, not collectivism. Now, of course, the left always argues, this is socialism, and it works okay. The roads and our public roads and our streets and our schools, all this stuff's based on socialism. No, it's not. It is a contract we have with where we live. It is a decision made by representatives. And we can vote those representatives out. And you choose to be a part of that by living where you want to live or wherever you go. It's your independence. It's your part of your property rights. Now, yes, it has crept in, and this incorporation of cities and all this stuff that happens has crept in and become a socialized system. But it is not socialism as we would call it socialism. or communism or whatever you call it. It's collectivism. You can voluntarily be a part of that collectivism. And this is where, in my opinion, property tax is immoral. I think it's immoral. Because you pay for something, you buy it, you own it, you're sovereign on that land. Except if you don't pay your property tax, they take it away from you. So we're paying rent on our property, something that we own. If I told you that, well, since you own that car, or since you own that, let's say you own your iPhone. You know, you have an iPhone, so we're going to charge you tax on it every year. Or let's say we charge a monthly tax every month just for owning an iPhone. Or say you have $1,000 in the bank. We're going to charge you tax on however much money you have in the bank every month. And you have to file, say you had to file wealth tax. This is what this is. It's wealth tax. It's ownership tax. Just because you own it, you have to pay a tax on that. Well, you own that, so we're going to pay tax on it. You have to pay tax on that. How deranged is that? We come up with this idea that's okay. Now, if I go out and I work hard for 6 months, I make a lot of money. I serve the public. I serve other people, and they pay me money for that. They pay me. Well, let's say they don't pay me money. Let's say they pay me. I work for an exchange for pigs. Every time I work for somebody and do a job, they give me a pig. The next guy I work for, I get another pig. Maybe I work for one guy, do a really good job, and he gives me two pigs. I start getting more and more pigs. At the end of 6 months, I have 300 pigs. And I take those pigs and I start trading them for other things. I start trading them for, I trade this pig for, well, let's say bacon. I don't know. I trade it for other kinds of food, maybe milk, corn, or trade a couple hundred, or a couple pigs for a car, whatever it is I do, for a bicycle. The government wants to get involved with that and say, well, you've increased. You have to pay a tax on your increase. Okay, let's say I got paid in cash. Well, you're moving, you know, that's federal funds. So you have to, you know, that's federal money. It's because they own all the money, right? So you're transferring money from one person to another. You have to pay a tax on that. But wait a minute. I devoted 6 months of my life to that. 8 hours a day I worked. I put 1,000 hours of work into that. 1,000 hours of my life into that. In exchange for the money I got, in exchange for the pigs I got. And the government wants to come in and take some of my pigs or some of my cash. Well, you got 100 pigs in the last 6 months. We're going to come in and take 7 of those because taxes. Because you owe us that money. Okay. How about I sit on my butt for the next 6 months on a sofa and I do nothing? How much do I owe you then? Well, you don't owe us anything because you didn't do anything. Oh, okay. So the guy who's sitting on his butt on his sofa for 6 months doesn't pay any taxes. But a guy who goes out and exchanges his life, his time, his energy, his life for something, you're going to take part of that away from him. You're going to take anything from the guy who did nothing. In fact, probably who was on the government dole. We're going to take your 7 pigs and we're going to give one of them to that guy because, you know, he doesn't have a job. He needs a pig. But he didn't do anything to earn that pig. Well, that's the point. Yeah, he didn't work. So he needs a pig. Safety net, you know. And maybe the guy couldn't work. That's a whole different story. It's just, I believe that income tax, in my opinion, is immoral. Property tax, in my opinion, is unethical, at least at the very least, if not immoral. Well, you know, how are we going to pay for school and road? And they always give this whole thing of, well, you got to pay your taxes. Otherwise, you can't, you know, who's going to pay for the schools? Who's going to pay for the roads? And who's going to pay for the, well, actually, when I buy gasoline, There's tax there for the roads, called wheel tax. There's other taxes as well. Sales tax, all kinds of things that go into that. State tax, federal tax. When I buy a gallon of gas. Property tax mostly goes to school and fire and police. That is where most of the funding goes from property taxes. Now, understandably, I can understand the police and the fire. Because if my house catches on fire, or I call the police because I think there's somebody robbing my house, stealing something from my house, unless I'm going to pay them, which I think in some areas now they actually charge you. If you call the fire department and they show up at your house, they charge you for that. I'm going to scream loud enough for everybody in the country to hear me. If that happens to me, if that ever happens to me, they send me a bill. I'll send them my tax returns, show them how much I paid in property tax. Send them a copy of that. And if it exceeds that, then we'll talk. Because I guarantee you, I pay enough in property tax to pay for one visit from the fire department. And probably several visits from the police department. Let alone if they show up to harass me, which is even more immoral. So, I digress. I don't know how I got on this whole topic here. But the whole point of this is that the judiciary and the system that we have now is becoming more collective, and it's becoming based on a socialist ideology. And the GOP fails in its mission to educate people and help them understand their rights as individuals. The progressives have done a very great job, an awesome job, of convincing people that they are victims and the system owes them something and they're entitled to something from the government, and that the government has unlimited funds and the rich need to pay their fair share. Rich need to pay the fair share. Millionaires and billionaires. Well, not just a billionaire. I'm a millionaire, so just a billionaire. The billionaires need to pay their fair share. Donald Trump is a racist. That's when you hear, you know, just over and over and over again, the left has, every time they would come out and they would just blatantly, blanketly say that Donald Trump was a racist. They wouldn't cite any issues. And I almost got into a heated argument one time, and I couldn't do it because the individual involved was a young person who was in grade school, and her father was there. I didn't even ask the question. My wife actually asked the question, and we're in the car. Somebody we know is a family member. And she said something about Donald Trump being a racist, and she wrote a paper in school about how Donald Trump is a racist. She probably got an A on it, that's what I assume. And I believe it was my wife. She said, so what, name an example of what he's done that's racist. And she, of course, you have to excuse her because she's a grade school kid. Well, she's spouting this propaganda and you're allowing her to do it without any reasoning. What are you teaching her by allowing her just to spout out everything that's all the spewing, the poison that everybody else is spewing out there? So she says this and she kind of comes, she doesn't know how to defend herself. And finally, the father chimes in and says, well, you know, he said some things back in the campaign and she was writing her based on some statements that he made. And he was citing something. And that was the end of the conversation because we moved on to something else and whatever was happening at the time. I knew this was not an argument we were going to win or an argument that was going to be very effective. Just the initial pushback, I think, was enough to make some people ask some questions, to help her ask some questions. Probably not, because everything she's around, her mother is even further to the left. And it's It was really frustrating because the things that I have heard people cite as for Donald Trump said we're supposed to drink chlorine, Clorox. No, he never said that. He never said that. The media has done such a good job of repeating it over and over, convincing people that that's what he said. He never said that at all. There were fine people on both sides. Again, he wasn't talking about the white supremacists. He said he condemns them totally. Then he went on to say there were fine people on both sides of the issue that there was the issue that this whole demonstration was about. Was about the removing of statues. There were people who wanted to keep the statues there. There were people who wanted to have the statues taken down. The people who wanted to keep the statues there were not necessarily white supremacists. But it was a part of their history that they didn't want to forget. Destroying those statues does not change the future. I just recently had this, again, I had this argument with someone online with these comments. And I made the comment, you know, I keep hearing people apologize. There was this guy who was apologizing. He's a government leader apologizing for, I should pull these comments up and read them. I wonder if I can find them on here somewhere. Let's see where they are. No, they're not there. Where can I find these?
I think he's a kook.
Oh, let's stop here. I gotta back this up. I can't even back. I don't think I can back it up. Can I back this up? It's not gonna let me back it up. I want to get into this whole Lindsey Graham thing a little bit more, but let's see if I go here. Maybe I can pull this up. I don't think I can. It's not gonna show me anything else. Short subscriptions, YouTube, library history, show more, comments. I don't see comments on here anywhere. Shorts, home, YouTube. Yeah. I was hoping I could see my comment. Oh, here's comments. Comments. Your YouTube comments. I don't go away. Okay. Yeah, here we go. This is the comments that I was hoping to find here. Let's see. Reply to comment. It's not all here. I can't find. How do I read this whole comment? Let's see what we got here. This is the Dutch king that apologizes. There's a Dutch king who apologized. This is my original comment is, an apology is usually followed by the forgiveness of the offended. Did that happen? Or will there be an external apology? Or an eternal apology with, will there be an eternal apology with no resolution? So in other words, the apologies just keep coming and there's never any resolve. Now, somebody comes back, this guy, wants math is truth or whatever he says, comes back and says, forgiveness is not obligated. Violent and criminal offenders apologize all the time. Okay. Here's where this boils down to the stupidity of this whole thing. Listen to what I said very carefully. An apology is usually followed by the forgiveness of the offended. Now, again, and the apology comes from the one who offended. That's who it should come from. You can try to apologize on behalf of, I will apologize on behalf of all of my family members, my predecessors, who offended anyone of color. That's a pretty shallow apology. Because the people who actually do the offending are the ones who need to do the forgiveness or the apology. They're the ones who need forgiveness, and they're the ones who need to do the apology. So an apology is usually followed by the forgiveness of the offended. And that didn't happen in this case. The guy just came out and apologized on behalf of something that someone else, that he didn't do, and that anybody alive today probably didn't do. So this guy comes back and says, forgiveness is not obligated. I didn't say it was obligated. Violent and criminal offenders apologize all the time. Now listen to this thread, how it goes. I said, correct, you can choose not to forgive. This is my response to this guy. Correct, you can choose not to forgive. You can choose to live a life with bitterness and hate. My point is that the apology, in quotation marks, is coming from a person who never owned slaves and possibly holds no grudges. Offering the apology on behalf of people who didn't commit, who didn't commission the request. In other words, he's representing people who didn't elect him to do this. They didn't elect this guy or put him in power, put him in a place in leadership to apologize. Did you ask us all if we wanted to apologize? You're just taking it upon yourself to, on our behalf, apologize? They didn't commission him to do this. So the request is empty. It's an empty and hollow apology. That's what I'm saying. So offering the apology on behalf of people who didn't commission the request is empty and hollow. It's a symbolic political stunt that doesn't bring healing or change a single heart. True racial healing will only have a chance of happening when the offended party decides to forgive the offender. We hear the word, we hear from the reverends of justice. I'm speaking of people like Jesse Jackson and Reverend Sharpton, all these leftist political, the new people don't call themselves reverends, they're just the leftist woke gurus, about reparations and retribution. Reparations and retribution will not create healing in this land. I guarantee you. You could give every single African-American in this country $1 million. It will not end. It will not end the problems. But you won't hear them offer forgiveness. So we hear from the reverends of justice about reparations and retribution, but you won't hear them offer forgiveness or speak of forgiveness. How many times have you heard Jesse Jackson or Al Sharpton? Provoke or try to encourage people of color to forgive the sins of the white man that committed against their families. Have you ever, ever heard them say that, ever before? All they talk about is reparations, retribution, and vengeance. They keep the race baiting going because that's what keeps them in their jobs. You will not hear them offer forgiveness. To go on, I said, I contend that is the only path to healing. But that would put these race baiters out of business. So then someone comes back with this comment, and it's actually the same guy. The same guy comes back and he says, I get your point. The fact of the matter is forgiveness is not easy. Then he makes this statement. I don't know if it's a he or him or her. If someone murders your family, removes your legs, eyes, splashes your face with acid, etc., all in the name of wealth and prosperity and glory, would you forgive such a person? So I responded again. I said, I may or I may not. I'm not obligated to forgive. But the bitterness that remains is something I choose to live with. What you are citing are direct crimes that have chargeable consequences. I'm not going to hold the person's family or their descendants or just anyone that happens to have the same skin color responsible and subject to pay for it. Then again, comes back with what I thought this person was starting to talk some common sense. And then the person says, why should someone who apologizes expect forgiveness or feel like they are entitled to it? I never said that. I never said they are entitled to forgiveness. So I said this. If you read carefully my original statement, an apology is usually followed by a forgiveness. There's no obligation, and the one who apologizes isn't entitled. Go ahead and live with the rest with your hatred and bitterness. If you think there's a better way to bring about racial healing, and you go ahead and try to find it. Because all of the retribution, vengeance, and reparations in the world are not going to solve the issue. That was the extent of our conversation, and he hasn't responded to that. And my whole point is, sure, go ahead and live in your, go ahead and don't forgive the white man. Go ahead and live in this bitterness and throw your fist in the air and say, you owe me, I'm entitled to this. My family was wronged. Where's it going to get you? There have been plenty of people in my life who have wronged me. And you know what? I'm sure I have wronged plenty of other people. Maybe not even so much. Deliberately done that. Just out of my own selfish whim. I was insensitive or whatever it was I was about the people around me. I did things that affected people around me that were selfish, that caused others to go without or caused others to be put off or put out, shut out. Totally unaware of it even, probably. I'm sure I've made decisions that have affected other people's lives that I had no idea. When I'm out in public, this is something that's constantly I'm aware of anymore. I don't know why. I'm so kind of hypersensitive to it, I guess. When I'm out in public and I'm I don't want to be in someone else's way. I don't want to push my way into a line. I don't want to try to. I have no problem holding the door for someone and letting them go in front of me. I can even be in a hurry, and I really don't. Because it's not my planet. And maybe you got things that, me stepping in front of you might change your entire life. When I'm being served by someone at a restaurant, for example, and I notice that I'm almost out of sweet tea, and I'm a little bit aggravated because the server isn't noticing I'm almost out of sweet tea. And they'll stop by and they'll say, can I get you anything? Or is there anything else? Can you eat anything? Well, when you have a chance, could you get me some more sweet tea? I usually say it that way. Almost always say it that way. Or if I have my mouth full, I'll just point to sweet tea and say, can you possibly one of those? I don't want to demand it. I'm a guest in their facility. I'm paying to be there. But I'm not entitled to another sweet tea. And I'm not entitled to have it now. And if you don't bring it to me now, you're a racist. This whole idea of apology and forgiveness is somewhat upside down in our culture. At least it's becoming that way. For instance, I've had plenty of people in my life where I've had experiences where I've found out through someone else that I offended someone. Well, so-and-so said that you said this and that really offended them. Oh, okay. I'm not going to go to that person and apologize. I'm not doing it anymore. I used to think, I need to apologize. I can't. Oh, I've offended a brother. I can't. I have to go. I have to apologize to them. No, that's actually it's not on you to do that. Believe it or not, that's not what Jesus taught. The Messiah didn't say that. If your brother offends you, go to that brother and work it out with him. If your brother offends you, oh, well, the brother didn't offend me. I offended them. The onus is on them. Now, I'm not going to sit there and, oh, well, they're going to have to come to me. No, that's not my attitude at all. But the responsibility is on the offended party. And not to tell everybody else about it. You go to your brother who offended you, not tell him, oh, so-and-so offended me. Go tell 20 other people, they don't tell the person who offended them. That's, in my opinion, that's more evil than the person who offended them. Now, don't get me wrong. I'm perfectly fine with going to that person and saying, hey, did I say something that might have offended you? I'm not going to say, so-and-so told me that so-and-so said that somebody else said that you said that. I'm not going to go down that road. Because it's not about everybody else and what they think. It's between me and you. I guarantee you, if you offend me, if it's something that's, I'm just being offended. Here's the thing. Half the time, it's just somebody's pride was hurt. I can't help you with that. If I spoke the truth and it hurt you or offended you or whatever, maybe I could have said it differently, but what I said is still the same. I don't know how to change that part of it because that's the truth part of it. The problem is maybe I shouldn't have said it in public. Maybe I shouldn't have said it the way I said it to you. And maybe I wasn't even being serious when I said it. A joke that maybe taken out of context or whatever it was. I can see that happening because I'm pretty, you know, cynical sometimes. I can say some sarcastic things and occasionally people don't understand it that way. But so I get that. And if that happens, just let me know. And I'll apologize. I make a lot of opinionated comments sometimes, believe it or not. And it's sometimes those opinions are taken, or they're taken as solid, you know, oh, he believes this or believes that. I can't talk to him anymore. What? Maybe I'm just thinking out loud. Maybe it's not a solid. Now, there are some hills I'll die on. There's some things like, I preached a sermon one time. I got invited to preach at a church one time, and I preached on this thing and this particular subject, and a lot of people disagreed with me. But it had nothing to do with salvation. Your salvation wouldn't change one bit if you believed one way or the other in what I was teaching. And I didn't even take a side on this thing. I just brought up a point of it's possible that this may or may not happen. And you'd be surprised at the phone calls I got. Pretty amazing. I didn't say I believe one thing or the other. All I said was you can't prove this with scripture. You can't. This particular principle is not. Oh, they disagreed with me and they said it showed me all over the place where their Bible says this. I was, well, that's a different translation. When you look into the actual Greek and the Hebrew in this thing, it doesn't say that. It actually doesn't say that particular word. It's the way it was translated. And it was, it may or may not be. There are fine scholarly teachers out there who would say one way and there's others that would say that's something else. But the point is, it doesn't affect your salvation, and it really is such a moot point for you to be arguing about. And that's really more my point. It wasn't so much the thing I said. It was the point of we're arguing about the number of angels that can sit on the head of a pin. Anyway, and it has nothing to do with whether or not, you know, we should celebrate what happened on the cross. But this is a serious issue. Forgiveness, I think, is a serious issue. And we've lost this concept, this principle, the very heart of what we're supposed to be doing here is, first of all, the what they cite to me is, if someone murders your family, well, I want to see that person prosecuted. I want to see that person pay for what they did. And then if that person comes to me and apologizes while they're sitting in jail, or even after they've served their time, we can talk about forgiveness then. Now, if that person does it again, or if it doesn't mean I'm going to trust that person with my family members. If someone hurts, you know, a family member of mine, doesn't mean I have to trust them with that person again. I can forgive them. Or I can work through forgiveness. Sometimes it's not just a process of just saying, okay, you're forgiven. It's all over. It doesn't mean I continue to trust you. You can rip me off. You can steal 10 grand from me. That's fine. It's all well and good. I will try to get my money back. At some point, if you apologize, if you make an attempt to pay me back, we can work through this forgiveness thing, maybe establish a relationship again. But until then, we're working on it. But you have to apologize. Now, I can forgive you without you apologizing. You can slap me in the face, and I can forgive you, even if you don't ask for an apology. Now, if your hand starts coming to my face again, there's nothing saying that I can't block that slap. I could certainly stop it from happening. Or dodge it, or get out of the way of it. Doesn't mean I have to stand there and take it. It's because, you know, 70 times 7 thing. Well, you missed one. So, anyway, let's get back onto this Lindsey Graham thing. I don't have a whole lot of time. So let's, MSNBC, of all people, they come up with this thing of everything that basically that, where'd it go? There it is. So Lindsey Graham, he says this thing about he's
I think he's crazy. I think he's unfit for office.
If you think Trump is bad for the party, I disagree with you.
He's a race baiting, xenophobic, religious bigot.
Do you think that he is a racist?
Absolutely not. You know how you make America great again? Tell Donald Trump to go to hell.
I think President Trump is good for the party.
All I can say is count me out. Enough is enough.
And here he is getting booed.
Welcome to Pickens.
At Pickens, South Carolina.
Thank y'all for coming.
Republicans.
And this was by MSNBC. They put these side-by-side comparisons here, which I thought was extremely...
Arnold Schwarzenegger!
Sorry, this is shorts there. Yeah, just managing shorts on here is not always that easy. So we had... This is the kind of flip-flopping that Lindsey Graham has done. Totally disassociates himself from Donald Trump, says, you know, pretty derogatory comments, and then comes back and says, Donald Trump is the party. Donald Trump is, you know, economics, blah, 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 blah. And then he does crazy stunts like this, and he shows up at a Trump rally because he wanted to get the, you know, he wanted to step in on the Trump train here. I think, personally, I think Trump knew this was going to happen. I think he knew. Oh, you want to be a part of this thing? Oh, Lindsey Graham wants to be a part of my Trump rally. Oh, yeah, go ahead and get up there in front of everybody. Go ahead and do that, Lindsey. See how that works out for you. And just basically says, oh, you want a little dose of truth here? There you go. These aren't your Senate buddies out here. I really question whether Lindsey Graham's going to win another election. I don't know if he's going to or not. Once you get into power, you've been in power that long, you've got the maintenance, you've got the mechanics of your election down. The machine is there. you've got a lot of people surrounding you that depend on you for your, you know, for their political careers. And they will fight tooth and nail to keep you in office, just even if you're an adult. And if you don't believe that, look at Joe Biden. Joe Biden did not get elected because he was popular. Every other election that Joe has ever run in, every primary he's ever run in, he never got more than about 1% of the vote. Never. They Bernie Sanders, they were concerned about Bernie winning. Same thing that happened when Hillary in 2016. People got fired from the DNC because of what happened with Bernie Sanders. The emails that were found with Wasserman Schmidt or whatever her name is, Schultz. She got fired from the DNC chair because her and Hillary were in cahoots with getting Bernie out. They don't believe in democracy. They don't believe in grassroots voting. They don't care about your vote. They care about their power. They don't even want to have debates right now because of this whole thing. Joe Biden, people at the top, you know, the white man at the top. This is who they are. And it just blows my mind that people don't see it. Now, there are more and more people, I think, seeing through this stuff. In fact, there are more and more channels. I'm finding more and more channels. There's one now called Black Conservative Perspective. Black Conservative Patriot used to be on. He has completely left YouTube now. He's just on Rumble. However, his kids have a channel now called Nothing But the News. And they read off. He's not even on it. He doesn't even read anything on the channel, on YouTube. He's completely forsaken YouTube. Hopefully, he's doing well on Rumble. I don't get on Rumble that often. I don't hear what he has to say. But I do listen to Nothing But the News, which is just it's kind of a quasi commentary report on what's going on in the news. It doesn't have his commentary, which is more extensive on each issue. Now there's one called Black Conservative Perspective, and it's got a guy on there. Officer Tatum, the Hodge twins. You got Anthony Brian Logan, several of these guys that are on there. Pretty straightforward, you know, conservative types that are doing a great job reporting what's going on. I think though they are winning people over at this point. Seem to be doing a pretty good job of punching through the racial ideology that if you're African American, if you're a person of color, you have to vote Democrat.
You don't vote for me, you're not black.
Excuse me, you're a white man. Saying if you don't vote for you, you're not black. But it's just upside down world. It's clown world, is what it is. It's ridiculous. Folks, it's been a little over an hour. And it is, my little alarms are going off. I need to be done with it, I guess, at this point. So all this to say, good morning, good Monday morning. I hope your week goes well. The rest of my week, I have no idea how it's going to go. I may be working early shift the rest of this week. So what I might do is have some evening shows. And what I might do on Wednesday, the Wednesday live time, they're supposed to have a live show Wednesday. What I might do is have an afternoon or late afternoon live show on Wednesday. Kind of depends on how all that works out. It's very hard to tell what my week is going to look like. I will know more about it this evening. It's very possible I might have a morning show tomorrow morning, and be, you know, just a normal morning show. Who knows? However, it's also very possible I could end up being in Champaign, Illinois. Who knows what's going to happen? Actually, it won't be tomorrow morning, but tomorrow, yeah, I might just be on my way transiting around the world. So who knows what's going to happen? I will find out later tonight, and I'll let you find out tomorrow morning, I guess, what happens to me tonight. In the meantime, we have a big week ahead of us. Keep an eye on the news. Keep an ear out there. as to what's happening with a lot of things, especially this cocaine thing at the White House. It has all of a sudden it has overshadowed all the documents, the classified documents scandal of the current sitting president, and the issues with the Hunter Biden payola. It's all become this cocaine. I care about that, but hey, folks, we're talking tens of millions of dollars being paid to the Bidens for influence from China, Russia, Iran, all these countries. I believe they're touching the iceberg, in my opinion. There was a deal where, we'll get into this tomorrow if I can. Hunter Biden made hundreds of millions of dollars through a little investment of a couple hundred thousand dollars. A little shady. God bless everybody. Have a great day.